It's a fairly common but rather strange occurrence for a person to remind us of someone else. It may be that we catch sight of someone in a crowded shopping street whom we think we recognize, but on closer inspection, and hopefully before we've cheerfully said hello, we realize that they are not who we thought they were. It's a case of mistaken identity. Sometimes in families, there can be remarkable likenesses across the generations. My middle daughter looks very like my sister-in-law and might even pass for her daughter. In the shape of their faces and right down to small facial expressions, they have some remarkable similarities. The gene pool comes up with some surprises at times. The gospel this morning works in a similar kind of way on two levels of appearance and reality. John sets the scene in the context of the Passover, that great festival of God's miraculous deliverance of his people Israel. It recalls in particular Israel's supreme Old Testament leader Moses, who led thousands of people from slavery to freedom via the Red Sea. Moses had an intimate relationship with God, so much so that he sometimes looked different when he came away from meeting God on the mountainside. He was transfigured and his face shone with the reflection of God's glory. Moses learned God's name, I Am, and even glimpsed God, but only from behind. It was Moses who received the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai, commandments which were designed to bring people a life of health, safety, and fulfillment, lives in which sacred worship and practical living were deeply integrated. It was Moses who led the people through the wilderness to the very edge of the Promised Land. Moses was a key figure in the Old Testament and in the testimony of the Jews. I wonder who is a key figure for us, a Moses for us. Who do we follow? To whom do we look for guidance, inspiration, and help at times of need? Do we look to the example of some great figure of the past, a Churchill, a Florence Nightingale, or a favorite saint? Or maybe we look to a contemporary figure, a Desmond Tutu maybe, or perhaps to someone who in our terms has been successful in the world of business, politics, arts, even religion. What are the qualities that we admire in them and might perhaps want to emulate? As we try to appreciate a little of who the biblical Moses is, and also begin to think about a Moses figure and what that figure might represent for us, we may begin to understand that if Jesus takes a position even parallel to Moses, it's making a very large claim indeed. And in John's narrative, that is exactly what seems to be happening. Jesus gathers a large crowd who follow him because of the signs they have seen him doing, signs of healing, deliverance, and new life. Some of Moses' following came from signs which had been seen, but signs of plague rather than signs of life. Jesus also leads a crowd across the sea and, like Moses, feeds a multitude, but with some important differences. When the people of Israel complained loudly about being hungry, Moses asked God, "Where am I to get meat to give to all this people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.'" Moses genuinely wanted and needed to know and to receive help. But by contrast, when Jesus asks Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus' question is purely rhetorical. He didn't need their hesitant calculation of money and amounts. Instead, Jesus himself knew what he was going to do. Moses needed God to provide the people with food. Jesus knew that he would provide it. And Jesus didn't wait for people to complain, but out of compassion and care, noticed that they had been listening for a long time and would need nourishment. And Jesus, as co-creator of the universe, took the common food which nurtures us and made it enough for all to assuage their hunger. Many thousands were fed, not because everyone shared their lunchboxes, but because Jesus bountifully replenished the fruits of the earth and recreated the conditions of abundance which were evident at the end of God's work of creation in Genesis. The people were satisfied as God stood among them in Jesus and blessed them at the point of their need. And this abundant blessing is particularly emphasized in John's detail. From the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. That is not something which Waitrose like to have at the end of the day, is it? This is an event which demonstrates the sheer overwhelming generosity of God. In this cathedral, as we've already been reminded last Thursday evening, we too had a glimpse of overwhelming generosity which comes from God. When more than 100 musicians created a sublime musical experience for our enjoyment, it was a gift of grace. It might be good to think, as a community together, in what ways might we, as a community, also commit ourselves to a life of generous giving, which reflects the overwhelming generosity of God? Answers on the email. And the result of the miracle is that the crowd sense a likeness and they jump to an understandable but wrong conclusion. When the people saw the sign that Jesus had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who is to come into the world." Just as my daughter is not her aunt, however alike they may be, so Jesus is not Moses. Underlying the gospel reading is the question, who is Jesus? What is Jesus actually like, not who does he remind us of? And John, no more than we are, is concerned to minimalize Moses, but to show Jesus as greater even than the greatest we can ever imagine. And he continues to make the point in the end of the gospel reading, which describes the action of Jesus in the storm on the lake, a storm which soon overwhelmed the disciples as they frantically tried to row to get back to base. And what happens? They saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. Maybe they even finally realized that Jesus is mightier even than Moses. While Moses needed God to part the sea so he and the Israelites could cross, Jesus comes walking on the surface, moving across the waters as Lord of creation. And when he gets close enough for them to hear him above the noise of wind and roar of sea, he reveals himself to his disciples with the name that God had shared with Moses. I am. Amidst all the fury of nature, they find themselves in the very presence of God and overwhelmingly desire to keep God with them in the boat. We will all, of course, at some time or another have to pass through terrifying experiences, perhaps war, accident, breakdown, mortal sickness, loss, even persecution, places where storms rage and we're thrown about by the force of what is happening. In that place, God is there for us. However difficult it may be to hear the still small voice, the I am, amidst the raging chaos. Or as St. Teresa of Avila put it, if Christ Jesus dwells in a person as their friend and noble leader, that person can endure all things, for Christ helps and strengthens us and never abandons us. Amen.